the only place that I can hold you tight. In this burning house, flames are getting bigger now. In this burning house, I can hold on to you somehow. In this burning house, oh, and I don't wanna wake up. In this burning house, and I've been sleepwalking, I've been wandering all night, trying to take what's lost and broke and make it right. I've been sleepwalking, too close to the fire, but it's the only place that I can hold you tight. In this burning house.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A lawsuit filed by Jewish students at Harvard in the wake of the anti-Semitism protests after the October 7th attacks in Israel can move forward. A federal judge ruling that today, but did not offer an opinion about the merits of the claims about student hostility on campus. ABC's Aaron Katursky has details.
The decision says that there is a plausible allegation that Harvard did not do all it could have done to mitigate those fears. In other words, the facts as pled, the judge said, show that Harvard failed its Jewish students.
Democrats Kamala Harris and running mate Tim Walz from the governor of Minnesota campaigning in Wisconsin and Michigan today, taking their message on the road, campaigning in those states with 90 days left until the election day. Republican VP nominee J.D. Vance also holding events in battleground states. Extreme heat and winds in the West are challenging fire crews still battling major wildfires in key states. This is ABC. At least two people were killed after a hotel partially collapsed in western Germany. Five others have been rescued. Two others remain trapped. Rescue crews, though, have been able to contact them. The EPA has issued an emergency ban for a pesticide known as DCPA because it can harm a pregnant woman's unborn baby. ABC's Rihanna Nally reports.
The EPA says exposure can alter fetal thyroid hormone levels, which is linked to low birth weight, impaired brain development, decreased IQ, and impaired motor skills later in life. While workers are the ones most at risk, the spray drift from these pesticides moving through the air could also put pregnant women who live near these areas where DCPA is used at risk as well.
DCPA has been used for four decades. A major league losing streak finally coming to an end. Before last night, the Chicago White Sox had a 21-game losing streak, an American League record, but they beat Oakland last night 5-1. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Total Wireless is made to totally keep up with you. We now have unlimited data that never slows you down. Covered by the Verizon 5G network. And for less than $30 a month, we make your phone your ride or die. Switch now and pick a free 5G phone with qualified plan purchase. And your fourth line at no additional cost. Visit your local Total Wireless store today. Total Wireless, we're totally with you. Actual speeds may vary by location. For data management practices, see TotalWireless.com.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, my son's teacher emailed his back-to-school list. He needs crayons and a comp book for every subject.
Okay, no problem. With Staples Hot Deals, you'll find super low prices on hundreds of items for back-to-school.
Oh, now they're saying he needs folders and glue.
You got it.
And markers?
Of course.
Oh, geez.
Can we get a cart, please?
Save big on back-to-school with Staples Hot Deals. Right now, 24-pack Crayola crayons and comp books are only 50 cents each at Staples. Ends 8/24, in-store only, limit 10.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. As Vice President Kamala Harris and her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, visit Eau Claire today, elected officials in Wisconsin react to Harris's pick.
Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers issued a statement praising Walz, noting the two men have a shared background as teachers. Evers said Walz has exactly the kind of Midwestern values and qualities that will make for a great vice president. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin said she served in the House with Walz and also said he'd make a great vice president. Congressman Derek Van Orden slammed Walz, claiming he gave up Minneapolis speechless to rioters who burned the city down following the death of George Floyd at the hands of Minneapolis police officers. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Former President Donald Trump's running mate, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, is also holding an event in Eau Claire. Senator Baldwin's challenger in her re-election bid, Republican Eric Hovde, also reacted to Harris's pick of Walz Tuesday in Marshfield.
He is considered the most extremely liberal governor, and I guess it goes with her political views, given that she was voted the number one most extremely liberal senator.
The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is offering info on how to obtain an ID to use at the polls.
U.S. citizens who will be 18 by the next election who don't currently have a valid state driver's license or ID can check the Wisconsin Elections Commission website for info on what forms of ID are acceptable at the polls. Documents including a birth certificate, proof of identity, and Wisconsin residency will be required to obtain an official ID. If documentation isn't available, DMV does have a process that may be used to obtain a receipt valid for voting while the remaining documents or verification are obtained. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You know what I could really go for right now? Literally anything that comes in a McDonald's carton, wrapper, or bag. Or a McDonald's cup. Yes, any of those items should do it.
Some decisions are not hard decisions. Right now, buy one of your McDonald's favorites, like a McDouble, McChicken, or four-piece McNuggets, and get the second one for just a buck. Price of participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Valid for product of equal or lesser value.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly sunny and mild today, with high temperatures a touch warmer, rising to the upper 70s. As a cold front sweeps through the state tonight, chances for light scattered showers push on in and linger through tomorrow morning. Then, our temperatures take quite a spill as we close out the week. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Right now, it's 74.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Business on solid ground, or are there some cracks in the foundation that have you concerned about the future? We'll jump into ag economic conditions, and let's get crop reports from Iowa and North Carolina in this week's Farmer Forum.
Live, having conducted very specific broadcasting vocal exercises via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll begin our monthly conversation with Dr. Jim Mintert from Purdue. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Tim Barak and Frank Howie. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Glory.
All right, Davis, hey, thank you so much. Yeah, the Ag Economic Barometer for July has been released, and it showed some improvement in attitudes.
Mm-hmm. It really did.
Yeah.
Feels good.
I'm a little surprised with the way that the grain markets have been trading. I'm a bit surprised that some optimism, you got to call it optimism, has snuck back into the barometer. We'll talk to Jim about that in our monthly conversation with Jim, and we'll take some of that and that conversation and take it over to the Farmer Forum with Tim Barak from Iowa and Frank Howie from North Carolina. It's been a couple of moments since we've had Frank on the show.
Two
minutes. And yes, glad to get him back on here. He's got Hurricane Debbie bearing down on him in North Carolina, so we'll get his updates on what is going on there. How are you this morning?
I think I'm doing all right. 73 degrees, muted sunshine, I guess I would call it. Although I do have my curtains closed, so it's hard to know.
But so far,
a lovely day. I'm feeling good. I've done my broadcast vocal exercises. I've spent some time focusing, you know, trying to get my mind squared away for the day's work. I think I'm ready. How about you?
I am on it. 69 degrees.
Uh-huh.
69 degrees. It's unbelievable. We're heading for a high of 78. We'll be there late this afternoon.
Okay.
But right now it is absolutely gorgeous. The humidity is low at 78 on August 7th. I'll take that Anytime. Anytime. Yeah. August 7th. Yeah. Yes.
And here's the deal.
Here we are.
I'm looking at nighttime temperatures, even clear down here in the Constantinople of the Midwest. Yeah. I mean, we're six handle. On Saturday, they've got 60 even predicted for us overnight.
Wow.
So when we talk about those nighttime temperatures, I mean, I know you like that. You're preaching nighttime temperatures.
All the time. The
nighttime temperatures, we need those to offset the smoke, the haze, right? Is that how that works?
Man, you're reading things into it now because we don't know what that smoke and haze is.
Reading things into it.
Yes. All I've done is ask questions. I've read nothing into it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay.
I don't know where you're getting that. Yeah, up here in the Mile Wide City, we are looking at a low this weekend of low 50s.
Like
51 on Saturday night. So it's going to be beautiful. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to it. What do you got in the news, bud?
Sure thing. Well, let's start with the weather. Still talking about Debbie. Tropical moisture from Debbie will track northward with excessive rainfall potential from the Carolinas and eventually into the Northeast Corridor. Gusty winds will accompany the track of Debbie as this storm tracks northward through the first half of the weekend. Meanwhile, heat and fire weather concerns for the Intermountain West continues. For Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands, excessive heat into Thursday. Here in the nation's belly button chip, we're going to have a decent week here as far as cool weather goes. Nice little reprieve.
You know, any hurricane can be devastating to those in the path. I get that. But this time around, I got to admit, every time I hear it, I chuckle a little bit because my sister's name is Deb. And when I was a little fry, if I wanted to kind of get on her nerves, I called her Debbie.
Really? She hated that?
She hated that.
Wow, she wanted Deb.
Yeah, so I used Debbie quite often as I could.
Do you think zebra cakes would be as popular if they were called Little Debs? I don't think so. You want that Little Debbie kind of roll off your tongue there.
That's Bank of
Japan Deputy Governor Shinichi Uchida sent a strong dovish signal in the wake of historic financial market volatility in Japan by pledging to refrain from hiking interest rates when the markets are unstable. We saw what the U.S. stock markets did here. It's been a global thing. There are those who are pointing to the fact that the Bank of Japan raised interest rates just sort of spurred the whole sell-off in the stock markets there. Have you heard that, Chip?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. But the thing is, you got to do what you got to do, right? And Japan has only lost, what, four decades of economic growth?
Yeah.
If they're going to get anything back, they probably need to take steps that are best for them. Dow's 400 points higher this morning, by the way.
Yep, yep. You know what? It's been a while since we've talked about one of these. Two unions representing soybean oil factory workers in Argentina announced a strike over wages on Tuesday, halting activity at soy processing plants. After failing to reach an agreement yesterday, the unions announced plans to continue the strike today. Nothing like an Argentine port strike, Chip.
Well, and I might be helping the soybean oil market out a bit this morning. It's finally trading to the upside.
Well, talks between Canada's two major railroads and the union representing about 9,000 employees are set to resume today, just days before the country's Labor Relations Board is expected to issue a ruling that could initiate a strike deadline at both companies. This could be a big deal here, Chip.
Oh, yeah. Got to keep the grain moving.
Yep. Well, over 500 ag-related groups led by the American Farm Bureau wrote congressional leaders last month urgently calling for a new farm bill. Senator Chuck Grassley is not surprised the farm bill is a tough sell on both sides. Grassley pointed to disagreements about SNAP and nutrition funding as holding up progress. The senator is pessimistic a new farm bill can be passed until that key issue is resolved. Through the first 7 months of the year, China imported 58.33 million metric tons of soybeans. Chip, that's down 1.3% from the same period last year. Now, given hefty soybean stocks, negative crush margins, and weak demand from the livestock sector, China's soybean imports are expected to slow through year's end. Meanwhile, China's exports grew at their slowest pace in 3 months in July, missing expectations and adding to concerns about the outlook for the vast manufacturing sector. The trade surplus with the United States through July stood at $190.64 billion. Reuters reports EPA has confirmed it is investigating the supply chains of at least two renewable fuel producers focusing on the origins of used cooking oil used in renewable fuel production. The increased scrutiny on UCO imports, particularly from countries like China, stems from concerns that these supplies might contain virgin palm oil linked to deforestation. And just one more here, Chip. Senator Chuck Grassley and Representative Adrian Smith of Nebraska and 20 of their bipartisan colleagues wrote a letter to Secretary of Commerce Gio Raimondo regarding 2,4-D imports from China and India. The letter noted, quote, given there is only one domestic source of 2,4-D with a limited capacity to meet domestic demand, American ag producers have to rely on imports to supplement their management plans. Chip, any changes to the duties on these products may have significant impacts on farmers.
Important story right there. No doubt about it. You need every tool that you can get to protect the crop and take care of some of the resistance out there that is happening. All right. Thank you, Davis.
You bet.
All right. Coming up next, we are going to have a conversation with Dr. Jim Minturk, director of the Center for Commercial Ag at Purdue University. It's Ag Economy Barometer time.
Another great harvest, thanks to Pioneer brand corn.
Just a few questions.
Who are you?
Kim Kernel, Ag Sports News. I've been chasing your combine for a while. How does it feel getting 10 more bushels per acre over last season?
It feels great. Couldn't have done it without Pioneer. It's America's number one corn brand.
And there you have it, folks, live from the field.
Who are you talking to? Pioneer, your best year starts here. Learn more at pioneer.com/best yet.
Want to start building before spring? Morton Building's winter windup is the chance to get ahead of winter weather and save big on select building projects. Now through October 31st, we'll be working all winter long, but building spots are limited. Don't wait to start your project. Click Get Started at MortonBuildings.com today.
Some things shouldn't be flat.
My tire!
But with GHX, you can maximize your acres with one flat price. While other brands sell by the bag, we sell seed by the acre to maximize your yield and profit potential. Our custom seed recommendations combine extensive product characterization and agronomic expertise to get the right product, population, and placement, all for one flat price per acre. Learn how at ghxseed.com/connect.
The startup of another day. Caring for the land to make sure it's passed down for generations. Regenerative ag practices help build healthy soil, reduce erosion, and hold moisture. Now ADM will reward you for implementing cover crops and other conservation practices with incentives that could pay over $35 an acre. ADM appreciates all you do to protect your land and legacy, and we believe you should be rewarded for it. Visit ADMregenerations.com to learn more.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compere Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compere Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compere.com. Compere Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Wednesday morning. We're getting ready for the Farmer Forum coming up at the bottom of the hour. First, though, each month, the Center for Commercial Ag at Purdue University, the CME group, Dr. Jim Minturk, Dr. Michael Langemeyer at Purdue, conduct the Ag Economy Barometer. It's a survey of farmers out there, and we are lucky enough to get Jim on here every month to talk about the results and what it might mean for us going forward. Jim, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing great, and good to talk to you as well, Chip.
Yeah, glad you're here. Okay, a little optimism showing up here, isn't there?
Well, it was a surprise to us. I'm guessing it was a surprise to you too, Chip.
Yeah.
So the index, the overall index, the barometer itself rose 8 points to a reading of 113. Probably the better comparison, though, in terms of thinking about what's going on in agriculture is to compare it to a year ago. And when you do that, the index is still down 10 points compared to a year ago.
Okay.
But then, you know, the surprise, again, continues. The current condition index was up 10 points compared to June. But again, 21 points lower than last year at this time. And the future expectation index was up 7 points compared to June. But again, it was 5 points lower than last year.
Right.
So, you know, as we put in the write-up, Chip, and you guys talk about every day, the reason it was surprising is because of the declines we saw in corn and soybean prices, especially from the time we collected data in June to the time we collected data in July, which was the 15th through the 19th of July. But if you look at your calendar, you might remember what else was going on the week of the 15th through the 19th of July. Does anything come to mind, Chip?
Republican
National Convention was that week, and of course we were surveying,
coming off an assassination attempt and stuff
our survey coincided with that, and we've seen evidence in the past where political events in particular can have a pretty big impact on sentiment. We saw it following the 2016 election. We saw it following, to a lesser extent, following the 2020 election. To be honest, Chip, we got caught a little bit flat-footed. We didn't have any questions on the survey that directly addressed those issues because we already have the survey in progress. But we're going to ask some questions related to more policy issues going forward to see if we can ascertain what it was driving this. But I do think that what happened with respect to the convention that week did, and the attempted assassination attempt, did have an impact on sentiment.
Okay, those were very historic events, especially the assassination attempt, the convention we do every 4 years. It seems like kind of a low bar to move the attitudes, Jim, and to offset what should have been a negative influence of lower grain prices.
Yeah, and, you know, elsewhere in the survey, I think people were realistic about that. You know, you look at the Farm Financial Performance Index, it did go down. It was down 4 points compared to June. It was down 6 points compared to a year ago. I might have expected slightly larger declines, but I think that's consistent with what was going on in people's operations. The Farm Capital Investment Index rose 6 points. That was a little bit surprising, but it still left it at a very low level and maybe was consistent with the idea that people are less worried about interest rates than they were previously, especially with all the talk coming from the Fed about possibly reducing rates here in September. So, you know, I think those things kind of actually make more sense with respect to the underlying economics that's going on. But I think from the sentiment standpoint, you know, when particularly going back to the 2016 election and the period following that where we did some follow-up questions, people let us know. They were very concerned and actually thought the election would have a big impact on things like the regulatory environment for agriculture. Yeah. They thought it could have a big impact on the taxation environment for agriculture. So I do think there are some reasons why people felt that way. And you know what? The other thing, we didn't have a direct question on the survey, but we do allow people to make open-ended comments at the end of the survey.
Okay.
And I read those. And, you know, there were a lot of comments that suggested that they were very concerned about what might happen following this election and the idea that the Republican side might be a little bit more in the driver's seat was clearly going to be viewed favorably by not everybody in the survey, but there were a number of comments along those lines.
Sure. Gotcha. Let's go back to that Farm Capital Investment Index. Like you said, it was up 6 points, but still very low at 38. The thing that impressed me is that 75% of the respondents said it's a bad time to invest. What does that mean for us going forward if 75% of farmers just aren't going to make any investments in their business?
Well, that's a good question, and I think it's a little bit of an issue with respect to understanding the demographics in our survey, because our survey is representative of all farmers. It's not It would be a little bit of a mistake to construe that in terms of being representative of the industry in terms of total investment. So it's, and I say that because we tend to get a relatively large number of people every month telling us it's a bad time to make large investments. But some of that reflects the demographics of who we're talking to. These are people that are actively engaged in farming. So they're still commercial scale farmers, but these are also some folks that maybe have no plans to expand. Perhaps they're looking towards retirement. And I think that's influencing what we pick up with respect to that Farm Capital Investment Index. But it's still, you know, if you look at it from a longer term perspective, we were way more optimistic about investing in late 2020 and early 2021. The last 2 years, we've been sideways. You know, if you look at it on a chart, it's really just a sideways band between a range of about 30 to about 45, and most of the time between 30 and 40. So people are telling us it's not a great time to invest. And, you know, from a farm management perspective right now, what would your number one recommendation be to most farmers? Reduce capital expenditures, right? Tighten your belt, reduce CapEx is usually the first thing you look at. Then you start looking at some other things as well. But that's the easy one. And given the fact that a lot of people actually made some pretty big investments when we had some very good years from 21 through 23, they probably don't need to invest that much.
Right. Okay. All right. I love the fact that each month you add something on an annual basis. And you're talking about rental rates. And, boy, timely, obviously, on the question, what are you finding out about rental rates?
Well, it was a little bit surprising, and I, given that this is still kind of early in the rental rate for 2025 season, I guess it's, you know, maybe got to take it with a little grain of salt, but roughly 3/4, 72% of the people in the survey said they think cash rental rates in 2025 will be unchanged from 2024, and then it was balanced between those who thought it might be lower and the higher for the remainder. So I think 13% said lower, 15% said higher, but the big news was no change. But if you think about it, you know, maybe that's not too surprising in the sense that even though returns in 2024 look terrible, right? I mean, we're really looking at potentially, you know, one of the worst years we've had in the last roughly 15, 16 years. So I think it's going to be really a challenge. But we came into this with strong balance sheets and strong working capital. And historically, it tends to take more than one bad year to see very much change in cash rental rates. And I suspect that's one of the things that's going on here with respect to people expecting to see those rental rates stay about the same.
Okay. All right. Jim, when you think about the barometer and what it is telling us overall, what is the bottom line? So if you were going to take these results and present them to a group of investors on Wall Street, what would you feature?
Well, one of the groups that I can have a chance to speak to periodically are some folks from Wall Street, but I also speak to some people, for example, in the farm machinery industry. Mm-hmm. And this confirms what we're hearing elsewhere, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be a challenging environment to move farm machinery here and at the end of 24, and I think spilling over throughout 2025 as well. Mm-hmm. We've got large inventories already. Farmers, many of them are well-equipped, well-capitalized already. They don't need to make purchases from a managerial perspective, an improved efficiency perspective. One of the challenges will be, can they come up with some new technology that is, in fact, cost reducing, that actually makes a farm more efficient? Yeah. That's going to be one of the big challenges going forward, because otherwise people are going to hold back, I think.
Right, right. You know, I have proven to myself over all of our conversations that I'm not very good at predicting what the next survey is going to tell us. Okay. But it doesn't stop me from thinking about it. The August results are not going to be this optimistic because of the continued pressure on the grains, because of the announcements from Deere, the announcements from Kinze, the scaling back. It feels to me like there's some pessimism that's growing. Do you feel that?
Yeah, I think, and my best guess, and we were a little bit surprised at this one. We were caught a little bit flat-footed. I think in August, we're likely to get back to more along the lines of what the underlying economics are doing. And I think you're right. I think it's going to be the negativity of prices starting to weigh on people. the caveat is we've got another convention coming up, and who knows how the political That's environment right. could have influenced things.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. It's always fascinating stuff, Jim. Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity. Look forward to visiting with you next month.
You bet. That is Dr. Jim Mintert, Director of the Center for Commercial Ag at Purdue University. Farmer Forums next.
Small insects can become monster problems in post-harvest stored grains. Protect your grains with Gravista D insecticide, the ideal on-farm solution that combines an adulticide, synergist, and an insect growth regulator. Apply as grain is loaded into storage to control these bugs and help reduce shrink and insect damage kernels by up to 18%. Protect your grain from monster bug problems with Gravista D insecticide from Central Life Sciences. Visit bugfreegrains.com to learn more.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, September milk up 59 to 2083, October up 42 to 2124, November up 38 to 2086, December up 21 to 1991. Live and feeder cattle markets moving mostly lower. A lack of any fresh bullish news to encourage traders to get on the buying train. Continuing to pressure the markets, we've seen some lower box beef cutouts as well. Hog markets moving mostly lower after the big correction in the cash markets from yesterday. That's still providing some pressure today. August live cattle down 22 cents to 181.75. August feeder cattle down 17 cents to 242.82. August hogs down 82 cents to 90.45. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all continue to move mostly lower. Lack of any type of fresh bullish news. The weather looking very non-threatening. That should really help the corn and soybean crops as well as the grains continue to move around their recent lows. There's also the trade watching that big USDA crop report to come out on Monday. September corn down 5.5 to 383.25. December down 4.25 to 401. August beans down 6 to 1022.5. November down 5.25 to 1021.5. Chicago wheat, September down 5.25 to 538. Minneapolis wheat, September down 5.5 to 587.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. It is Wednesday and time for this week's Farmer Forum. Let's get it started. Tim Burrock from Iowa. Tim, good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm all coffeed up, Chip.
Good deal.
But
good
are
deal.
You thinking?
I guarantee.
Oh,
he
I'm
is
thinking. Absolutely.
Attaboy.
All coffeed up and thinking.
Me too.
Fantastic. Frank Howie. It has been way too long, Frank. It is good to talk with you. Frank's from North Carolina. Welcome, my friend.
Glad to be on, Chip.
Good deal. Good deal. Okay, Tim, I want to start with you. We're going to talk financial conditions and everything, but we got to talk crop conditions first. What's your situation? How are things looking at the Burrock Farms over around Arlington?
Given enough time, things look pretty good now. All the tile line crops have had enough time to grow and even out. Pollination on corn occurred on the tile lines first, but it filled in between. The same with beans, you know. And I took a little tour around Iowa here a couple of weeks ago, and you get away from here and things really look really good. Of course, there's the Northwest Iowa problems, but overall, it looks good, and the weather really looks like it's going to continue to have it look good.
Yep, yep. You know, we're at that time of the year when we're used to talking about the concerns about heat and so on. But these cool temperatures are going to slow down the crop. Actually, as long as we can add a few days to the end of the growing season, these cool temperatures help this crop gain weight right now. I mean, it's setting up pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah. We're just finishing pollination. We weren't planted early. The early planted crops look really good, you know, in the area. They escaped the problems. And the other thing we're watching really close is disease. You know, we're ready to spray, but the disease pressure, at least in my region, is really low.
Yeah.
And it's a great debate of whether we need to, we should spend the money or not at $3.75 corn.
Right, right. I heard a plane flying this morning. It was out, I'm not exactly sure where it was or what it was doing, but it had the sound of an aerial application happening over here. So there's some of that happening. So, all right. Let's bring in Frank. Frank, what's your situation with Hurricane Debbie?
We're expecting a lot of rain tonight and tomorrow, and the winds have died down, but we're still going to get some 30, 40-mile-hour winds. But we had a drought back in June, and now for about 6 to 7 weeks, we didn't have hardly any rainfall starting in late May. And then around the 1st of July, it started raining, and we've had over 14 inches of rain since then. And if we get the rain they're predicting, we're going to have river flooding along the PD River, which could impact the bottom land corn.
Okay, that dry stretch, what did it do to your corn and soybean crops down there?
It really punished the corn, especially early planting corn. There's been some fields, I farm in North and South Carolina, some fields in South Carolina that have been zeroed out with zero yield. It was just devastating, the heat we had along with the dry weather. And we came from real wet conditions into all that dry weather and heat, and the corn just didn't have a spring root under it and really got punished.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, over the years, the Southeast, the Carolinas, Georgia, and then down across the Gulf states have had kind of a swing effect on the national average corn yield. It's either helped out or really hurt us, and it doesn't feel like the Southeast is going to help us much this year at all, does it?
No, sir. It's pretty widespread, even up into Virginia this year. But the irrigated corn is good. We basically left our pivots running for a month straight. Because it was so dry and so hot that the water was evaporating just about as fast as we were putting it on there. But I do think we're going to have a good irrigated crop.
Okay.
We started harvesting some dry land earlier this week, but and it's you know, disappointing on the yields. But the quality is good because we got large kernels from the late rains that we received. So what did pollinate got pollinated. But there's a lot of stalks with no ears.
Yeah. Yep. Doggone it. Most of that corn go to the hog industry down there, Frank?
Most of the area we farm goes for chickens and turkey feed. The hogs are a little further to the east, but yes, if North Carolina were a country, it'd be the seventh largest importer of corn in the world. We're that deficient on corn, and a lot of that corn comes out of Ohio by rail to feed all the poultry and hogs we have in our state.
Holy smokes, I had not heard that stat. North Carolina would be the seventh largest importer in the world if it was a country. Yep. Wow.
Yep.
Wow, that's impressive. Okay, so hog production down there. We've got hog production up in Iowa, obviously. Tim's a hog producer. Tim, what are you making of Prop 12 and Q3 and all these issues? Is it going to have an influence on how you raise hogs?
Well, Chip, I'm out of the hog business. So I'm not in it anymore. So, but yeah, they still have influences. And I want to thank Frank for importing all that corn. Tell him to do more.
Keep it going, man.
We'll need more this year for sure.
Yep. So do those hog issues get much conversation in North Carolina, Frank, Prop 12, Q3 out of Massachusetts?
Well, you know, there's been a moratorium for years in North Carolina where you can't build new hog houses because of the odor concerns from the neighbors. You can rebuild a farm you take out of production, but we can't increase the size of the herd of hogs in North Carolina. But, anytime you have more regulations, it's a problem. But I'm not in the hog business. I raise, I have a cow-calf operation.
Right.
In addition to row crops.
Okay. Tim, financial conditions. We just had the conversation with Jim Midterm from Purdue University. The July survey showed a little bit of optimism, which, as he said, caught him flat-footed. If I'm looking forward to the month ahead, I think things might soften up a bit on the optimism. What are your thoughts on the farm economy right now?
Well, you know, there's a little optimism when you look at maybe the production, but when you look at what we're selling things for now or what you can contract for, there's not much optimism. It's just not good. You know, there's no profitability left. And the old crop corn, you're basically moving it now, giving it away to make room for the new one. Some people are moving it on delayed price. And I don't know how that's going to turn out.
Not but good.
I don't see a lot of optimism. I mean, people are kind of, I'd call it melancholy right now, and irritated with themselves for the job of marketing they have done for the past year. Now they're trying to figure out how to deal with the next one.
Yep. Does that describe things in North Carolina, Frank?
We were fortunate. We sold our crops last year and didn't carry over crops, and that was the right thing to do. But farmers are very put out with the prices and the weather. I mean, nobody is excited about buying anything. I had somebody call me the other day wanting to sell me a farm, and I told them I was just mostly interested in keeping the ones I already had.
It's, sometimes you got to get into that preservation mode, and it sounds like that's where farmers are. The survey question that they asked on rents, Tim, that there is a fair – the attitude is steady on rents, but – there's 15-16% that are leaning to the downside on rents. Are you hearing any lower rental rates for the year ahead?
Well, you know, to hear it yet, you know, the whole month of August, at least in Iowa, you know, is negotiation period. Mm-hmm. And everybody's struggling with what to do. And there's a lot of talk, Chip, about rents need to move down. So I personally am looking forward to having the farm management companies lead this charge, because they let it when it went up and they said things have to be fair, and to make things fair again, I'm hoping that the farm management companies will lead the yeah. trend to lower rents. And I think they recognize it, and I expect them to do that, and that'll help. And it, you know, there'll be some movement this year, and with normal crops mm-hmm. in the 25 growing season, there'll be more movement in August of 25.
Yeah. I would think that they would at least be open to the conversation. That conversation is going to be had. There's no question about it. Okay, we are in the middle of the Farmer Forum. We've got Tim Burrock from Iowa, Frank Howie from North Carolina. A couple of issues that I want to get to yet, including, does Waltz bring a bigger ag voice than Vance? We'll discuss next.
We all know what the 4-H pledge is. I pledge my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health to better living for my club, my community, my country, and my world. Big city folks might not get it, but Western Wisconsin does. I'm Rebecca Cook, and I grew up on a dairy farm that's been here for generations. I'm a proud 4-H alumni, and I'm running for Congress. Farms like my family's have been under siege for decades. Corporate dairy has driven so many of us out of business. And what's Washington done? Nothing. Politicians like Derek Van Orden focus more on culture wars than the war to save our way of life. He wants to ban all abortions. I want to keep the government out of our private decisions. Van Orden actually brags about sexually harassing military women. I honor women who serve our country. I'm Rebecca Cook, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message because the values of 4-H beat the values of Washington any day of the week. Paid for by Cook for Congress.
Meet Cheryl.
Hey.
She's on vacation and lost in the moment. Unfortunately, so is her Chase debit card.
It's gotta be somewhere.
Maybe she lost it at Salsa Night.
These skirts should have pockets.
Or maybe she lost it at Pilates.
3 and 2 and...
But she's not worried. With the Chase mobile app, she can lock her card till it turns up. Tools that help protect. One bank that puts you in control. Visit chase.com/checking. Chase, make more of what's yours.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC.
Wherever I travel, I've learned that local knowledge is key to a great journey. But so is knowing the language. And that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. They're now offering a lifetime membership to all 25 of their languages. You can dabble in French, try a little German, learn Japanese or Swedish. And you can now get 50% off Rosetta Stone's lifetime unlimited subscription. Visit rosettastone.com/radio today to purchase and then learn for life. That's rosettastone.com/radio.
Well, I'm 21 years old, and I'm from Sullivan, Indiana. Becoming a Sweetwater Technologies franchise partner has allowed me to return to the home farm and diversify my income source. Drones are the future, and they really are a solid agronomic endeavor. And we're flying at 28 feet per second, getting a nice uniform swath across your field, really blowing down that product into the canopy. We're having great success this summer, and I'm really excited to see where things go. Apply today to become a partner at SweetwaterTechnologies.com.
At Case IH, we know you work hard all year to maximize your yield at harvest. And to do that, you need a combine that works as hard as you do. That's why we built the new AF11 with more horsepower, more efficiency, and more capacity than any other combine out there. Plus, built-in automation to harvest more easily than ever before. To do more with every engine hour, you need equipment that's as good as you are. You need the best in your field. Visit your local Case IH dealer for more on the AF11.
It's time to cut costs. Your Meristem dealer has the keys. Unlock the NPK you already own with new, improved Excavator AMS powered by Microbialize technology. Excavator AMS is the first and only all-in-one nutrient release and residue breakdown product with built-in nitrogen, surfactants, and water conditioner. Take cost out of your fertilizer and adjuvant spend now. Unlock nutrition faster with Excavator AMS. Learn more and find a dealer at MeristemAg.com. Always more bushels for less.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive, delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com and never miss a beat.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.
Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development?
Nuh-uh.
You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back. We are in the middle of this week's Farmer Forum. Tim Burrock from Iowa, Frank Howie from North Carolina. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Davis is here as well.
I am.
Guys, during the break, I'm thinking to myself, Frank made the comment that there's not a lot of interest in investing and buying out there right now, you know, preservation mode. Tim made the comment about there's going to be conversation with farm managers about lowering rental rates this year. You guys, you're talking about some things that would define a recession in the ag economy. Tim, is that where we're at?
I think we are. When you look at the John Deere layoffs, the Firestone layoffs, everything that's going on and the lack of machinery moving, ag's in a recession. A lot of people don't realize it yet. I'm sure the politicians don't. They're so busy looking the other way, telling us how great things are. But, yeah, I think we are. And I think the country's starting down. And I was with some international farmers last week, and I kept asking, are we in a world recession? And yeah, a lot of different farmers from around the world are questioning what's happening because of their prices.
Yeah. What do you think, Frank? Chip. I mean, and does it matter?
Yeah, Chip, interest rates have got to come down. Doesn't make sense to invest in ag right now because of the interest rates. If you've already got equipment financed at low rates, nobody's going to trade for a higher rate. So that's why the equipment layoffs are happening. It's real simple. I mean, interest rates have got to come down or prices have got to go up. And these hedge funds have shorted all these commodities and drove them down. And, you know, maybe that's the value of the crop, but I don't think the value as low as they have driven these prices. And there's even talk that they're going to drive them lower. And how it's going to affect my operation is we're going to plant less winter wheat because there's just no money to be made at these prices. You know, I can be broke, but I don't have to be broke and tired. So we're going to cut back and we're going to put more land and grass for cattle and expand our cow-calf operation and cut back on our crop land acres.
Okay. How far are you going to, are you starting that expansion in the beef cow herd now?
We've been doing it for years, but we're going to accelerate it. Yeah. We have about 2,500 cow calf operation, which is big for this part of the country.
Yeah. It's big even out west, Frank. Come on. There's no doubt about that. No doubt. All right. You guys, political issues have taken center stage. We got Tim Walz as the running mate for Vice President Harris. We've got J.D. Vance as the running mate for former President Trump. Tim, I'll just ask you, we hear about Governor Walz all the time from our friends just north of the border. Which do you think is bringing a bigger voice to agriculture, Vance or Walz?
Well, Walz has got a history when he was congressman. He was on the Ag Committee.
Yep.
So, you know, he's got some background there. So I think it's going to be interesting in going forward if he even talks about that. There's not much ag talk at the political conventions. Republicans didn't, and we'll be able to monitor the Democrats. But I don't think ag's even on the radar screen for the presidential campaign, and it's too bad. Trade is huge. We got problems with trade with both parties. Biden-Harris didn't do much of anything, didn't lift any tariffs. Trump's talking about more tariffs. None of that is good for us.
Right. What's your take on this?
Tariffs are terrible for agriculture, and it worries me. I remember when Trump was president before, soybeans, they had about a 50-cent trading range for about 3 years because of his tariffs, and China backing away from buying our soybeans.
Yep. Yep. You know, and the thing is with tariffs, I'm not convinced that either the Republican choice or the Democrat choice is going to bring much relief either way, is it, Tim? I mean, they're both talking about increasing tariff rates on China.
Yeah, and that's a major problem for us. And that, you know, just on trade, if you use that trade issue as your political choice, like a lot of people use abortion, one vote issue. I don't have any place to vote on the trade issue, so yeah, I've got to look beyond that to make my choices. And
so where are you looking?
I like Trump's other policies better, but I sure don't like his trade policies at all.
Right, right. What about you, Frank? What other issues are you looking at?
I think majority of farmers, especially in North Carolina, will be supporting Trump. But, you know, the tariffs and the rhetoric, the first time he was president, I thought he was just saying that to get elected. But he cost the American farmers a lot of money. And my size operation, it was millions of dollars. And the payments were capped that he gave. There were a lot of dollars that I just plain lost out on, and just because of the size of my operation.
Yeah, exactly. We talk about the battle between big and small, and all the time. And boy, when some issues like what we had with Trump and the trade issues pop up, and they try to make things equitable or equal, or however you want to say it, with those payments from the Commodity Credit Corporation, and it just seems to never work out exactly right. You guys were great. Thank you so much for making time for us today. Tim, we really appreciate it. Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome.
Frank, great job, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Look forward to talking to you again, Chip.
All right, Tim Burak from Iowa, Frank Howie from North Carolina. Come back this afternoon for Naomi Bloom.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned.
Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
The new John Deere Gator XUV lets you cut, pack, drive, scout, weld, stack, feed, pull, load, tow, spray, and haul. All in a single day. Because with the highest cargo box volume in its class, customizable features, and a towing capacity of up to 4,000 pounds, it gets the job done. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/GatorXUV.